culture, and class in America. Live from Long Island's Gold Coast, this is the Melissa Itell Duran Show on Breaking It Down Radio with co-host Frank McKay.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the Melissa Itell Duran Show. Frank McKay here, much more importantly, the novelist, the author, the wonderful subject of a documentary that everyone can get to if they go to melissaitelljuran.com. Frank McKay here with the wife, the mother, the dancer, and educator, and everything else, and of course, radio show host, Melissa Itell Duran. Melissa, how are you?
I'm great, Frank. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and I was just telling you off mic, I saw a bizarre split screen, and it just looked, I don't know, it just looked bizarre to me. You had Michael Cohen on the left of the screen, and you had President Trump with President Kim Jong-un walking on the right. Yeah, and it just looked like, well, what else can go wrong in this world?
But, I know, right?
You know, I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. President Trump is dealing with somebody who was his lawyer, who is now, you know, basically a witness against him, witness for the prosecution, right? I mean, it's safe to call him that. And
I suppose so. Yes, at this point, you know, he's dying to tell his side of the story to Congress.
So, I mean, what are we expecting? I mean, what's happened in the last week? I know you're a little under the weather. I was a little under the weather. I'm sure people listening were a little under the weather. But in general, what's been the news of the week?
How you have, in addition to Michael Cohen saying that he welcomes the opportunity to tell his side of the story to the American people, you have the Jesse Smollett. Attempted, well, I don't know if it's attempted, but alleged attack, racially motivated attack, which now the Chicago police is saying is a total hoax.
Yeah. That was terrible, what he did.
Yeah.
I don't
understand it at all. Do you?
Well, I mean, he wanted publicity. Supposedly, he wanted more money. And I don't know what's true. This is all allegedly, we should say, right? So allegedly he wanted more money he figured if he does this and he makes it look like a Trump loving attack against him, that it'll look like a hate crime and he'll get all this attention. And then when he negotiates, he'll get more money. And it didn't happen that way. See, some people are bringing up the point. And again, I'm not a big Roseanne Barr fan or anything like that. I've never been a big fan, but she got taken off for tweeting, and I guess some people were suggesting that this guy should be taken off for doing a lot more than what Roseanne Barr has done. I mean, how much different is this than what Roseanne Barr has done?
It's Roseanne Barr. I think she was drunk or she's just plain bored, you know. And she made that comment about the former advisor to President Obama, and she apologized. I don't know why she did that either. I mean, she messed up everything. She ruined everything. She had a good show going on. She had a revival. Yes, she's vehemently pro-Trump. She's also very pro-Israel, and she just blew it. You know, the thing is, she didn't employ people to say, okay, let's make it look like you know, I'm being targeted by this horrible human being. She went out and said it herself. That's the, you know, she made a very serious error of judgment. This guy paid some, I don't know who they were. I heard they were Nigerians. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so. Nigerian nationals, right? They were.
Yes. Bodybuilders or something?
Yeah, they were big guys. That was for sure. And he walked them through the whole thing, and he got them hats that looked like Make America Great Again hats, right?
Yes, right. Yes, they showed video of these two guys buying the paraphernalia.
Wow.
I mean,
botched.
Oh, my God. I mean, you want to negotiate a salary raise. Okay, fine. Aren't there other ways of doing that through other channels? You don't like the administration? You're fine. Okay. I don't know. go on MSNBC. You can get an interview there. They'll interview you. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Why do this? First of all, who would believe that you're walking? What was it? It was 10 degrees below zero or something like that in the wee hours of the morning. And where was he going? Out to buy a pizza or something? Who the hell would believe that?
Wow. I mean, just crazy. The question is, should he be removed? I don't know if Roseanne should have been removed from the show or whatever, but political correctness means you got to get them, you know, out of this thing. Jesse Smollett or whatever, you know, his name is, should he be, if Roseanne was removed, should this guy be removed?
I understand you're asking
double standard question.
Right. The last I heard, they're not killing off his character in Empire.
No.
I don't even know. To be honest with the audience, I don't watch Empire. I know it's highly rated. Yeah. But I'm not familiar with his character. But last I heard, Fox is not, and the producers of Empire are not killing off his character.
Yeah. Well, it's good for them in a sense. But standing by their person. See, there was a case in college football a couple of years ago. I don't know if you remember this, but I'll remind everyone to go to MelissaIteldurin.com if you're not driving, if you're listening to this and you're in a safe place. Go to MelissaIteldurin.com and binge listen to everything that we're doing here and watch the documentary. Frank McKay here with Melissa. But there was a college football player. I don't know if you remember this guy, but Manti Te'o, his name was. He was from Hawaii, but he went to Notre Dame.
I see. Okay.
And he was, real nice, popular linebacker, real clean cut looking guy, and just everyone loved him and all this. And he got into some relationship with a young woman, and she ended up dying. And he made it public, and it became this big, heartfelt story. Only thing is it turned out that it was a hoax. And do you remember this from a couple years ago?
And, I'm afraid I don't.
Yeah,
no, I don't.
Manti Te'o,
anyway.
His name is, right? So anyway, he got caught up in this situation. Now, we don't know whether it was him pulling the hoax, maybe to get Heisman Trophy attention, to get that's the big college football trophy, and to get some attention there, or to get some publicity, mm-hmm. or whatever, or whether he got duped and he got catfished, I think they call it, right? Catfished, mm-hmm. Where it was some guy pulling off a hoax and whatever. Now, he said that he was embarrassed in front of his family to admit that he was falling in love with a woman that he never met, just online. Mm-hmm. And, some people believe that, some people didn't believe that. But what I started thinking is, here's a young man, he's never done anything wrong in his life, regardless of what he did or didn't do in that particular case. I started thinking, I hope this young man doesn't commit suicide, because the pressure and the media attention was so heavy. And I was thinking, yeah. Oh, gosh, please let this kid get through it, because whatever it was, it wasn't that malicious where you want anything to happen. It wasn't like a hate crime. He didn't say, the Holocaust was a joke. He didn't, it wasn't anything like that, It was mm-hmm. it was this silly, potentially very embarrassing. Well, it was completely embarrassing for him. And it stuck with him. I think he shook it because he's on a NFL roster now, and he's a decent player, not a great player, but he's a decent player. But he's had a normal life because he rode this out. But I felt so bad for the kid, and nobody was bringing it up. But I was saying, I really hope that he doesn't go overboard and do something like commit suicide or something along those lines. And so I was really worried about him. This guy I'm less worried about. He's a grown man, right? I mean, he's a grown man, and he seems too arrogant to do anything to harm himself or anything.
No. Yeah. He's not going to hurt himself. I'm sure of that. I mean, the only thing that is what awaits him. I mean, he's charged with a serious crime.
Right.
And among which includes filing a false police report, staging a criminal act. I mean, these are serious charges. And I mean, his career, I mean, for all purposes, his career is damaged.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
no
damaged.
Doubt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, look, people damage their careers all the time and they come back. I mean, do you realize Alec Baldwin? Now, as funny as we find him, right? We find him funny playing President Trump, and he does a good Trump and all of that. And, you know, he does a lot of things well. He's funny. He was good on 30 Rock. He was, you know, all this. But let's keep something in mind. And again, before I get into it, let me remind everyone to go to melissaiteljuren.com and check out the documentary. But Alec Baldwin is the same guy who, and I, boy, I would never talk to my daughter, son, anything like this, but the same, a woman, a young girl, especially a young girl, but this is the same guy who on an answering machine was screaming, you pig, you little pig, you're a dirty little, verbally and mentally, emotionally abusive. What he did was disgraceful. See, if I was President Trump, every time the every time that Alec Baldwin did me and it bothered me, well, first of all, I would take it with a grain of salt. He doesn't. Trump bothers. It bothers the hell out of Trump. But I would play that clip of Alec Baldwin to remind everybody, okay, look, you're laughing at me, whatever. I've never talked to my daughter like that. I've never talked to my son like that. You know, so the thing is, we forgive and we forget depending on what side of the media you're on. And, of course, Alec Baldwin is a sweetheart of the media because he's beating up Trump. But your take on that, I mean, people can survive these things.
Well, yes, you know, it's funny now, and you know, as you look back at what that incident, I remember it pretty well. And now, of course, Alec Baldwin is the father of how many children? Four? Three?
I think
four?
So, yeah, three or four.
One. Yeah, I mean, I think he's got one on the way with his second or third wife. I don't know. I lost count.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the relationship is like with the first daughter that from his marriage with what was her name? The actress Kim Basinger.
Basinger, right? Basinger.
Basinger. Yes. Very good actress.
Yes. Very pretty.
Yes. I don't know what the relationship is like now, but yes, I was very. To listen to that, to think a father would speak that way to a child. And I don't care what the circumstances are of the divorce. That was between you and your ex-wife.
Right.
You know, you don't treat an innocent child, a child who's just caught in the middle that way. I mean, it's humiliating, you know, and it tells you a lot about his character. If you recall the parking incident he had last year.
Yeah, anger management issues this guy has.
Yeah, he's got, anger management problems, exactly. But yet, he's the darling of SNL and NBC and everybody else because, you know, he's made his Trump impersonation, his bashing of Trump through that, his brand. And he's very much the darling of all, you know, of that side of the field.
See, so you can be forgiven even if you do something horrendous in this world. And so this actor did something terrible. Only thing is, it's, you know, if he gets caught up criminally. See, he's putting people in jeopardy by and taking attention away from serious crimes that really did happen. And, presidential candidates, I know they were talking about how did they react to the original, what was thought of as a hate crime. Did they say anything that they couldn't dial back? And there's been some discussion this morning as we speak that it's good to judge the presidential candidates, you know, these new emerging Democrats as individuals by how they dial back what they initially said. And can they pivot out of this? Can they recover from whatever they said in case they went over the top? You know, I didn't hear what Senator Spartacus said, but he might have had a very harsh thing. AOC, did she make a comment on it? Do we know that any of these people did? But it would be interesting for a future show to go through and see what everyone, how quick to judge everyone was.
Yes, that would be interesting, but I haven't heard AOC's take on the subject.
Yeah. AOC, by the way, you know, I think when we spoke, they had just lost the Amazon deal. Amazon's heading down somewhere else, and or they might head to Jersey or whatever, but they are not coming here, right? We spoke about that.
Yes, we did, yes.
And I said, well, who's exulting over that? Have you followed that at all? Is anybody enjoying that? Is anybody saying, I killed them, I did that?
Oh, definitely AOC. She takes full credit for this. Wow. And Mayor de Blasio, who, along with Governor Cuomo of New York, full-heartedly endorsed this and came out at a joint press conference, you know, hailing the advent of Amazon in New York, instead decided to turn this against Amazon, say Amazon's at fault. They didn't want to work with us. He was very careful to sidestep any association with the protesters, the progressive left, the AOC crowd, you know, because he is still entertaining a presidential run for himself, last I heard.
Wow. Yeah, good luck with that one. Yeah.
I know, right?
I can't imagine the Midwest embracing Blas. And I don't see that happening. Again, Melissa, iTellJordan.com is a good starting point. Binge listen to everything we're doing, hundreds and hundreds of shows. Melissa, what else stands out to you? Any new announcements? Bernie Sanders, I don't think we spoke about him. He came out and he announced that he is running for president of the United States.
He's off and running.
Yeah. And did he raise the most money in the first day after an announcement in history? Did I hear that correctly?
Exactly. Was it $6 million?
Wow.
Or close to that amount? Yeah, he's got his friends. He's got a lot of supporters from 2016, diehard supporters, who felt that they were cheated out of seeing Bernie get the nomination, and that it was pushed aside. And I don't know if this is, if it's going to be worth it, because the field is so crowded, and many of the people who are running have are actually spawned from the Bernie Sanders group.
Yep.
They embrace his philosophy. So I just don't know how this is going to play out. I think eventually he's going to have to step aside. I can't see him again as coming close to getting the nomination, especially if Biden decides to step in, or Bloomberg, or one of the people who's, I can't, we have so many of them now, one of them starts to pull ahead of the crowd, because it could become a horse race.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, though, Biden still is my pick, that if he gets in, it's all over. He just clears the field. I mean, nobody else is going to be left standing. It'll be a fight for second place, I think, if Joe Biden gets in there. He's the great equalizer. He gets in, and then you start seeing people's numbers just drop. And maybe I'm wrong, but I think what does Trump call him? Crazy Joe? Crazy Joe gets in.
Crazy Uncle. I don't know. Yeah. It's Uncle Joe.
Uncle Joe gets in there. Boy, all the nieces and nephews be dropping out like flies, if you ask me. You know, again, Frank McKay here. MelissaIteljordan.com is where everyone should go. Well, listen, we're gonna see what happens. And as always, it never is less interesting the more people who get involved. Who does it hurt? Who does Bernie Sanders getting in hurt? Elizabeth Warren?
Well, Elizabeth Warren will never take a number two shot. These other people, Spartacus, Kirsten Gillibrand,
Kamala,
even though they say they want to be number one, I feel, and I've read this elsewhere, and other people have put forth this opinion, that they're auditioning for number two. You know, they're willing to take the concession if number one doesn't open up for them. If there's a number two spot, that's what they're doing. That's the bat. That's the contingency plan. And I don't know. You know, Bernie has a mission. He feels he's got an agenda to fill, and I just don't know if it's. I think whoever's supporting him may be throwing out money. in doing so, because I don't think he's it's just too much of the same thing. It's too much of a too many conflicts. You know, it's you've got people who have borrowed from Bernie, and here's Bernie coming in, and it's really a very crowded. It's very crowded, and in fact, I forget we have other people who have yet to declare. We have mayors and some other congressmen. How do you keep track of all this?
I don't know, but we still haven't talked about it, and we're just out of time here. Stay right with us, Melissa, but we haven't heard the H word brought up recently. And the big bombshell waiting to be dropped, maybe not, but we haven't heard the H word, and I don't know if we will, but Bernie's in, and who knows if Hillary is next, but we'll see. Biden is the big one that we're waiting to hear.
Yes.
Melissa, any last thoughts? We got about a minute left.
Let's see. We have February is coming to a close.
Yeah.
We have yet to see Biden make give any hints of an announcement or do anything like that. We have yet to hear from Bloomberg.
Yep.
And where's Howard Schultz? Is he formally throwing his hat in the ring, or is he, you know, hiding behind a wall from people who are angry at him?
Yeah.
And of course, don't forget Hillary.
The H word. What we haven't heard yet. Frank McKay here, thanking Melissa once again. And
thank you.
Thanking all of you for tuning in and binge listen to everything that we've been doing here. Melissa Eitel-Joran on the Melissa Eitel-Joran Show. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Melissa Eitel-Joran and co-host Frank McKay on Breaking It Down Radio.